Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based on the words of the gospel reading that you just heard read before. Interesting story about that. I shared it with the Bible class here on Tuesday morning. Almost 50 years ago, probably in the fall coming up here, I think it was probably in the second term at the seminary, which I began in 1974, I had a course on preaching. They call it homiletics. And my very first sermon that the whole class was assigned to preach or to write was on this text, Mark 10, especially verses 35 to 45. For our theme for this morning, I have chosen serving and sacrificing. Now those words, serve, sacrifice, are not words that necessarily enjoy wide approval among people in our world today. And as of considering this theme, I first thought maybe service and sacrifice, but that would have been okay. But the verbal nouns that Jesus uses here suggest participation and action. Serving and sacrificing. When someone is asked what it means to be about serving and sacrificing, you'll probably get all kinds of explanations and opinions. In contrast, the epistle lesson and the gospel for this week in Lent give us a great deal to consider in connection with these words. And as we meditate on them, the most important question should be, who is serving? Who is sacrificing? May the Spirit of God lead us and use His word as we consider these things. To thoroughly understand these concepts, we need to consider them in the context of the words that Jesus speaks just before the gospel reading again for today. He is very forthright in predicting His suffering and death. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him and spit on Him and flog Him and kill Him, and after 3 days He will rise. These words are actually the third time in the Gospel of St. Mark that Jesus makes a prediction of His suffering, His passion. He cannot be more clear. The first time He does this, Peter rebukes Him. The second time, it states that the disciples did not understand and are afraid to ask Him about it. This time, Jesus' prediction is followed by the request of James and John to sit at His right and left hand in His glory. Now, perhaps their request was brought about by the fact that Jesus had just said that He would rise from the dead. But it is apparent from the way that Jesus answered James and John that they had the wrong idea entirely. He speaks to their mistaken understanding. You don't know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Now, Jesus here is speaking of the cup of suffering. We read in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed that if it were possible, the Father might remove this cup from Him. Yet He also prays, "Not my will, but your will be done." And when Jesus speaks of the baptism with which He will be baptized, He is speaking of His death. St. Paul alludes to that when he writes in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" James and John, perhaps not even fully realizing what Jesus says, not comprehending his words, say to Jesus, "Oh, sure, we can do that. We are able." And Jesus' response is full of power. "The cup I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." Yes, James would be the first of the 12 apostles to suffer a martyr's death at the order of King Herod. And John, though the longest lived of the 12, would write from his exile on the island of Patmos, "I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance." But Jesus also has more to say. He cannot grant their request. "For to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared." Commentators, some have referred to the fact that Jesus here probably was referring to the two criminals who would be crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. For it was in his death on the cross that Jesus would truly enter into the glory of his kingdom. If this is the case, then the suffering theme of our Lord's message is very clear. But that was not the end of the story. The other disciples have been listening in on the conversation, and they become very angry and upset with James and John. Perhaps they were angry because they had not asked first, or because Jesus' answer showed them that they as well would not be granted the positions of honor. Jesus needs to speak to all of them. Listen to what he says. "You know that those who are the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Son of Man gives his preeminent example of service. He will give his life as a ransom. He will give his life to buy us back from sin and from death. He will redeem the world by his suffering and death. That is serving at its greatest. And so Jesus tells his disciples what their following him really means. It is not an attitude of arrogance or superiority, but service. He asks them to be servants and slaves. Now, that may not be a popular word to hear. Other older translations of this text use the word minister to describe the servant. A minister serves. And Jesus reminds each one of us, his modern day disciples, that we should be serving. But of course, to truly understand service and serving, we must understand sacrificing. And we need to see the true foundation for those thoughts. Jesus says it, The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here is the greatness of Christ's ministry and service. Here is the purpose for his prediction, once again, that he would suffer and die. He gave his life. St. Paul writes of him, "He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." There's the message of this whole season of Lent leading up to Holy Week, which is just a little over a week away. The message of the cross set before us. The sacrificing servant in saving us is serving. And the same thought is expressed in the epistle for this day, from the letter to the Hebrews. There we hear of the high priest, who is not obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, but rather by his perfect obedience offers himself up as the sacrifice. In the process, he has become the source of eternal salvation for everyone. Jesus was not a high priest like all the other high priests who served in the temple and before that in the tabernacle. Jesus was the perfect, sinless high priest who offered up his life as the ransom for many. And so in him, in Jesus, and through him, he calls on us to be serving and sacrificing. Now, those, as I said at the beginning of this message, are not necessarily popular words to hear for many people today. But in our lives, in Christ, we are serving. We are serving him here, this morning, in our worship. We serve him in whatever task the Lord places before us. Among our neighbors, our family, whoever it may be. Now, maybe we think that's too hard, but maybe it's because we try too hard. Just serve him. As the closing words of the explanation to the second article remind us, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. But there is also that sacrificing word as well. Perhaps we think that that too is too difficult. Several weeks ago, the gospel lesson reminded us, "Whoever would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." One cannot take up a cross without sacrificing. We live under the cross and in view of the cross. Quite a few years ago, I read a book about life in East Germany in the days before the fall of the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall. There was constant persecution, even though it was often not of the violent kind. Sometimes it was just the numbing oppression of the communist bureaucracy at work. But people who were Christians knew they would not have the best jobs or be able to attend the university. Their children would not advance far if it were known that they had taken Christian instruction and had been confirmed. But they served. And countless others knew they were Christians and would come to them for counsel and advice and love and help. It happened again and again. And perhaps the most stunning example of it is Erich Honecker, the last, if you will, leader of East Germany. As the regime fell around him and the wall came crashing down, Erich Honecker, old and sick and basically without any place to go, found refuge in the home of a Lutheran pastor. And there he spent the last days of his life. In sacrificing, they were serving. Let us pray that the Lord would give us the same strength to serve. And in serving, to remember him who gave his life as a ransom for many. As the great Lenten hymn, "My Song is Love Unknown," concludes, here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days would gladly spend. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in one Lord Jesus, invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We gather at this time our tithes and offerings.